You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, today I'm excited to share with you the insights, tips, and viewpoints from salon owner, education icon, Jules Tognini. Join us as he talks over his youth-focused education company, a new venture for hair loss prevention, and how he juggles kids, clients, and international ambassador travel, all while maintaining his envious, laid-back attitude. Listen as Jules talks through how important personal relationships are, and he also demonstrates a new framework that will help you change your outlook on business. Let's jump into the podcast with Jules. Jules, welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Really pleased you can join me here this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
I can't wait to hear your story. So why don't you start by telling us, where are you in the world and how did you get to be doing what you're doing right now?
All right. So I'm currently residing at our salon in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. I've just got back from a couple of weeks in the States, and I'm back just trying to bust out a few more clients before I head over to Europe to do a couple of big launches and a big show at Salon International. So it's good. You caught me in the middle of it all. So I guess to give you a little feeling on me and for the viewers on who I am and what I do, my name's Jules Tognini. I'm a hairdresser by trade. I've been hairdressing for about 11 years now. I've grown up within, a hairdressing family. My dad's kind of probably considered as Australian hairdressing royalty in a sense. And I guess I always had big shoes to fill when I walked into this industry. So it always scared the shit out of me when coming into hairdressing. But I kind of took it on, and it has been great. But look, It's been a tough ride as well. I think trying to fill those big shoes and following in the footsteps or something like that, you had to really create your own, I don't know, own journey, own way, own road to where you wanted to be. So I guess since starting hair, as much as we have a salon in Brisbane called Tognini's, which we have about 25 staff, my parents are still very much within the salon, but myself and my brother Christian, we tend to be the new gen coming into the salon, and my brother kind of runs the salon, and I'm here when I am and try to work my ass off when I can. So it's been great. So I'm still working the floor 3 days a week. I still do clients. I still have clients coming in, you know, showing me pictures of celebrities with long hair, asking me to make them look beautiful. Like, I still get all those kind of same things as most people out there as well. I guess on the other side, me and my brother run an education company called Little at the Top. Little at the Top's probably a youth generation, you know, fun-fueled generation education company, which we tried to tackle education in a different light. I think a lot of the education we've seen over the years, a lot of the fundamentals, has been very precision, very old school, very technical. And we looked at it going, seeing the new generation change and how much people find connecting with that younger generation really hard, we realized that that's probably where our strength is, being a little bit younger. So we've really targeted that market. Currently we're doing a lot of courses around Australia. We have about 8 educators on our books. And really rolling out in salon education and private education for salon groups. But our big ones are a thing called Meat and Potatoes, which is our fundamental cutting classes. So we've been running our fundamental Meat and Potatoes for the last 2 years, and we've just launched a dudes version, a men's version, only last week. So that's all rolling out around Australia, and again we're trying to get down to New Zealand next year, which is great, and we'd love to bring it across the globe and get over to the US and into Europe as well, hopefully by the end of 2019, which is great. So that's all kicking off. I work with a product company called Evo, an Australian product company called Evo. So I'm their international ambassador. So I still do a lot of their launches around the world. They're in about 45 countries now, I guess. So we get to do a lot of work with them on an international base. I do a lot of their education, cutting education, and creating a lot of their new trends and looks and education that goes across the globe. And then only recently, about maybe 4 months ago, myself, my brother, and another business partner have created a new brand called Joe Blow, and Josie Blow, which is a hair loss or hair loss prevention company, which we've just launched online only a couple of months ago, which is going really, really well. We've got a men's version called Joe Blow, and we're about to launch a female version called Josie Blow in the new year. So things are nice and busy. Besides, I've got a couple of kids and a beautiful wife, and they like to see me occasionally too. So,
well, you can squeeze them in.
Yeah, they get my heart.
Yeah. So that actually was my next question. How do you juggle all the things, 3 days on the floor and all of the other things? I mean, your calendar must be a nightmare to manage. Talk a little bit about that, how do you fit in all the things?
I don't know. I can't say no to things, and I'm really bad at that. So I don't know. I never thought I had FOMO, but maybe I do. I really have a fear of missing out. So I do tend to say yes to things, and if I can squeeze it in and make it work, I will. I guess having family recently, you know, in the last, you know, 3-4 years, I've got 2 kids. One's Iggy, my oldest, is 3.5, and Poppy's 1.5. So I guess since having them, my life's changed a little bit. I always wondered, I'm like, what did I do with all my free time before I had kids? But I think everyone else out there who has kids exactly knows where I'm coming from. But how do I fit it all in? I don't really know yet. I know it just happens. Like life on the road, lots of planes, lots of airports. You catch up where you can. I've got a business partner and my brother, Christian, who's bloody amazing, and he picks up all the scraps for me. He's more the business front. So he makes sure that everything's falling in the right place and the dollars are getting spent in the right area. And, you know, he's the one who'll probably either big up or shut down my creative or crazy ideas. So it's nice to have that really creative sense on my end, be able to make sure that it runs across the business parameters and make sure everything falls into place too. So I have really good help around me. We have, you know, great staff in the salon, and I guess I've got mentors and my parents that have been in the industry for, you know, 35 years. So having that as well, you've always got great people to bounce off. So yeah, I don't know. Fitting it in is one of those things I'm still working on, to tell you the truth, but I do. I love it all. And I walk away and I come back from a trip just exhausted, but I'd love it. I just love it. I just can't get enough of it. So I get back on the plane again and do it all again. So I think until I stop enjoying it, I'm going to keep on kind of burning the candle at both ends, I guess.
Well, good for you. I certainly know that having a chalk and cheese or yin and yang partnership is vital, especially if you can stay in your zone of genius and he stays in his zone of genius, but they're complementary. And I think that's a really good combination.
It's great. It works out so well.
Yeah. Well, I know that when I first reached out to you and said I'd love you to come and chat on the podcast, you were just about to have who I now know as Poppy. So this is 18 months in the making. I know your calendar is busy. So without further ado, I'm really keen for you to share some of your wisdom. You have so much experience and you come from a really unique perspective. So talk to me about the way that you look at things from your perspective.
Yeah, I guess, look, the hair world is a different game. I look at it and I think that, you know, as much as it's amazing, I've grown up with it ever since I was a kid. You've seen it all. I've had this father who's been absolute, you know, the master of avant-garde in Australia and just a crazy, you know, talented, gifted, weird mind. Mm-hmm. You see him push boundaries all the time. And I think as the generations change and as, you know, things like social media, technology come into play, you start having to realize that you've got to change with the times. And I think having someone like my father on the front end of that, you know, always pushing it back when he was my age and then trying to do the same thing again, I think, you know, he's always had a saying, being average scares the shit out of me. And I kind of agree with him. It's like, as soon as it's just kind of back to basics, it's boring and it's done. You want to change and do something a little bit different. So I guess what we look at it is that, you know, there's a bit of planning and organization towards things, but we look at ourselves as, you know, okay, cool, we have a really good backing, we have a lot of knowledge behind us, but at the same time we're still youthful and we're able to maybe help with trying to change the way people look at hairdressing. I came into hairdressing when it wasn't all that sexy, I guess, about 10 years ago. You know, I copped a lot of flack for it, for my mates, and, you know, going into an industry that was dominated by chicks small dogs, blondes and bitchiness, I think that was the cloud over our industry. It didn't sound that great. Look, I know to today, people still think of hairdressers as, you know, maybe uneducated and whatnot. You know, baristas at the moment are cooler than us. And I think I'm really out there to realize that once I got into hairdressing, I realized how much cooler it was from the inside than from the outside. And I guess I'm trying to love to spread the word to try to get it out there. But at the same time, I realize just spreading the word doesn't help. It actually, you have to help change the industry internally as well to make sure that appears differently on the outside. I think, I know, I look at dad, you know, when he started hairdressing, in, you know, 20, 30 years ago, hairdressers were considered as rock stars. They were making front pages of the paper when they won awards. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, you don't hear about that. So deep down, I think we're part of the fashion world and everything else in the fashion world's taken off, but hair is kind of still just hanging on the back end. And I think as much as, yes, I am proud to be a hairdresser, it's only really been recently that I've started saying that because I think before then, I think our industry needed a bit of a change. Look, lots of changes are happening in our industry as well. And I think skills aren't really getting adopted as much as they used to be. They're not as important. I think money's really come into the hairdressing world and people are kind of following the money rather than following the passion and skills. But I think we're there to try to change that and try to bring up the standard of hairdressing. So we try to do everything in a unique and, you know, push a bit of fun into everything as well.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think actually... You know, I remember that time when hairdressers were rock stars. Mm. You know, I remember that. And what changed? What went wrong?
I don't know. And deep down, this is the way I look at it. And this is the way, if anyone's ever done a class of mine, I use a word that everyone kind of tends to chuckle about. But I think these days hairdressers are becoming pussies. And everyone's always laughing. You go, what do you mean by that, Jules? And I'm like, you know what? We're scared of our clients. Like, we get dictated to our clients. The amount of guys who, especially who are coming to my classes and spending $400, $500, $600 for the day to hang out and learn some new skills, like, no one's going back to the salon on those days and charging more money. They're doing it so they can up their skills to make their clients feel better. But if they're too afraid to push these new ideas onto their clients, then our industry's not going to go anywhere. I think because of the social media thing, because of the YouTube thing, because people can look at a haircut, watch a haircut as a consumer and understand what a layer is and what face framing is and what they need, what kind of tone blonde, what product they want to use in their hair. They come in, you know, describing a haircut to you and what they want. So part of me goes, you know, as a hairdresser, I understand that you feel a little bit on the back foot when your client comes in. So I think what we need to do as hairdressers is stop being pussies and actually stand out in the front and make sure that we go back to dictating what we want to do. We're the ones who are knowledged up. We're the ones who are educated up on what we need to do. And I think we just need to take that power back into our hands. It's like, we know what suits our clients the best. And if you don't know, then you go and educate yourself. But the idea is you're there to do a tailor-made haircut for your client, not to do the latest, you know, haircut that, you know, one of the Kardashians have. And I think that's where our industry is going a little bit wrong at the moment. I think we're too afraid to speak up.
I think you're right. I mean, I think, you know, doctors must be experiencing the same kind of thing with people self-diagnosing. Googling themselves. Yeah, and they come in probably with a printout saying, I've got these 7 diseases, can you help me? Whereas I'm sure doctors don't say, oh, yes, follow Google's advice. Let's give you that drug because they said, no, they stand up and say, well, I'm the doctor and this is what I diagnose, and this is what you're having. So exactly. I think we need to take the same approach, right?
I kind of tend to agree. And I know that's the way we approach things in our salon, but at the same time, you're paying big money. It's like, and I think the funniest one is, I find, and everyone gets it, is when you get a new client in who's had a stylist who's left them and they've come in for a haircut and they're like, look, I've seen 6 hairdressers and no one can do it the way I need it.
Yeah.
You know, I want it like this, this, and this. And, you know, a lot of us will stand back in the back and go, okay, yes, yes, yes. But the way I look at it is like, all right, babe, you know, the reason why you've had 6 bad haircuts is because you've told your hairdresser what to do. How about you let your hairdresser do what they think? And I always say to them, okay, it's either going to work out one of two ways. It's either going to love it or you're probably going to hate it. But you've got to let me do my job, babe. Otherwise, you're going to be the 7th hairdresser you're not happy with. It's one of those things where I don't think we're confident enough. And I think if it's, you know, there's a lot of youth out there who aren't used to having conversations like we used to. You know, out of my 300 clientele, I reckon I'd have maybe 1 client who sits on their phone. The rest of them talk to me. And that's the best way to know your client, to get to know your client better. The thing I probably hate the most is when a new client comes in and you say to them, okay, hi, how are you? Now, what do you want to do today? It's like you're setting yourself up to fail. It's like, get to know your client, spend 15 minutes, have a coffee, get to know them on a personal level, because the relationship you're going to have with that client as a hairdresser and the guys out there who are hairdressers who have been hairdressing for 5, 10, 50 years, it's like everyone kind of still has people that follow them wherever they go. I've had my clientele for 11 years. I don't take new clients anymore because my clientele who have been with me for my whole career are still around. Your relationship turns into they turn into your friends. And That's right. At the end of the day, you have fun. Your friends trust in what you do, but you also get to get paid to hang out with your mates. And you see them once every 6 to 8 weeks. It's bloody great. Like, this is a dream job. Yeah.
Yep. What a good approach. Now, when we were talking about what tips you were going to share with us today, you asked if you could swear, and so you're allowed, and I would love to hear your tip number two.
I already said pussy, so it doesn't matter now, does it?
yeah, we're past that threshold.
So I guess you've asked for like three of my like business tips, and I guess I look at it going, doesn't matter what area we work in, if it's in the salon, if it's a product, if it's education, if it's working for another brand, I always look at three main things. The first one being, we always try to tackle everything with fun and humor. I think these days it's a really easy way and a great way of connecting with your crowd, connecting with your clients. In the end of the day, I like to smile all day and have a good time. So I try to approach a lot of the work I do and the brands I work with that kind of fun and humor as well, which is, within 11 years, it means I'm not bored of what I'm doing and I'm still loving and enjoying everything. I think, due to social media, a lot of people see me away and they're like, oh, geez, you're always on holidays. And I never correct them. I always go, yeah, it's pretty good. Hey, I have a job where I get to travel and have a good time. No doubt there's a bit of hard work behind those holidays, but it's if work looks like a holiday through social media, then you beauty. I think that's a pretty good win, yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Tip two, we'll go a bit deeper. We call it giving a fuck. Fuck standing for flexibility, unified connection and knowledge. Now, I think the way we look at that is that anything we do, we want to care about what we do. So if it's within working in a salon format and in working with our staff, we care. We have this staff that like our family. And I think that's one big thing that we find, that anyone who comes and works for us, they feel like, they've gained themselves a mum and dad and a couple of brothers, which is really lovely because we care about them. We care. We give a fuck. In education, we wouldn't do it unless we cared about what we did. It's not a money grab by any means. I think it's really about trying to build our industry. Yes, it keeps us busy, but we're doing it for the right reasons as well. If it's within products and whatnot as well, I think we looked at doing a wet line for a little while, and the hair loss thing really came to us as a bit of a, this is a way we can help guys. I realized 50% of my clientele are male, and those males who are losing their hair needed a bit of help. No one was talking to them about their issues, and their hair was literally just falling off their head without anyone ever saying anything. So I think by caring about those clients and making them feel better about themselves, men's issues are a big thing at the moment as well within our market, and being able to help someone just by, giving them a head of hair to feel a bit more confident with it is awesome. So I think anything we tackle, we like to have a caring aspect and a bit of a why before we say yes to anything. Same with working with Evo. It's been with them for 8 years now, and they're three of my good mates now who own Evo, and we care about what they do. We care about the growth. When I started with Evo, they were in Australia only. So since then, them growing over 40 countries now, it's like, yeah, I care about what they do. I've got their eyes and ears on the ground from a hairdresser's point of view as well. And what they do, what their products say they do, the way they work. Yeah, I give a fuck about it. I really care. So I think it's much easier when you connect yourself. And this is for anyone out there who's thinking about doing anything. I look at entrepreneurs who are, who invest in businesses or start something up that they don't really care about, but they could make a bit of money. They go for it. And I guess I find myself, I can't do that. I can't connect to something I don't care. I don't care about enough. So by doing it this way, it makes me feel, one, a lot better about what I'm doing, but it also makes you feel like you can make a bit of a difference and you're passionate about what you do, and that comes back to having fun every day as well. So make some money out of it, then fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's a good checkpoint to whether or not you say yes to something.
Yeah. Well, that's for me. Like, it's not for everyone, I guess, but from my business point of view, if I'm not passionate about it, if I don't give enough of a fuck, then it's not going to work for me. And then the last one.
Yep.
Is, we call it same, same, but different. And I guess within our industry, it's not like we've invented a new haircut or we invented a new product or we invented a new way of educating. It's definitely something that we realize that there's people before us, and kudos to those people who have done things before us, but it's about trying to do something that's not reinventing the wheel, but how do you make that wheel a little bit better, or how do you make it a little bit faster, or how do you make it run a little bit smoother? So I guess I probably put this more into Little Top, our education company. We started this on the back end of trying to change it up a little bit and do something a little bit different. I guess within our company, there's a lot of people out there doing education, and I think we started Little Top about 6 years ago. Since then, it's built slowly up until we've got about 8 people now working with us, and we pick like-minded people. And I guess the reason why we pick people who work within our crew is that we're not picking people based off skills, but a lot of times based off personalities. I feel from an education point of view, and being able to have myself and my father, Benny, on board, we train people pretty well. And I think if you've got the right attitude and the right personality, we can teach you the skills, but you can't teach someone how to be them and be, you know, hold a crowd and have personality and be liked and hold a group. And, you know, I think people really look up to the educators that are teaching you. And if they really believe in the educator, then they will take away the education they're teaching you as well. So I think it's about trying to do it a little bit differently as well. And we talked about a little bit of humor. We try to connect a lot of our education to more of a youth-fueled vibe. So it doesn't mean it's not just for 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds, but definitely for people who want to feel youthful. And I think our industry is definitely one of those industries that keep you young. Sure. You know, if you're out there still on the floor after 20, 30, 40 years, like my dad's still cutting hair after. How long have you been cutting hair for, Dad? 43, mate. 43? He's next to me. 43 years, and he's still cooler than me. So we work next to each other a couple of days a week, and all my clients are like, how cool's your dad? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty tough having a dad that's cooler than you. It does. This industry definitely keeps you young. And I think the way we push our education across is by trying to connect with those people, trying to connect to what they're doing in the salon, trying to understand the reality of what's happening out there these days as well, and trying to not get rid of that, but embrace it as well and go, all right, cool, how do we work that as best? So the same, same, but different. Same with our hair loss company, Joe Blow. Joe Blow is definitely one of those things that we realize there are other hair loss companies out there, but nothing was talking to the youth. Nothing was talking to the 25-year-old who was struggling with hair loss that didn't want to talk about it because he's not confident enough in his own skin yet to get himself out there. When you're 40, you don't, you know who you are and you're confident enough to put yourself out there. But when you're 25, you're trying to act like everything's still cool. So we try to approach it as more from a branding situation or point of view of trying to connect to the younger generation. So we look at the hair. Like a lot of people, once you lose your hair, you're kind of done. But if you're just starting around that, you know, early 20s to mid 30s is when you really start seeing that hair, the first parts of your hair start, you know, dropping off. And that's when we look at it going, you should get onto it. Preventative is better than a cure. So we try to promote that a little bit differently into a different market and make it more based around, you know what? You don't have to go see a doctor and a lab coat. It's not an issue. It's not a disease. It's not going to kill you. It's hair loss. It's definitely one of those things that it's a reality check more than anything. It's like, hey, you're losing your hair. Big deal. 90% of guys will lose their hair at some point in time. So you're the majority. But hey, if you want to do something about it, here's a solution.
And you've pegged the market actually early, preventative, fun and young, and taking the barrier away. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Babe. Yeah, cheers, darling.
All right. Well, look, as we lead towards wrapping up, tell us, what is the business quote or a mantra or something that you live by that keeps you going as a zone?
I've got two. The first one was always talk to more, but only kiss the pretty ones. But I don't know if that applies for this one. So let's go on to quote number two. I always got to believe in dance to your own rhythm. I think that's self-explanatory, but you know, sure. Hear your own vibes and Do it your way. Don't be afraid to be yourself.
Nice. All right. What's a book or a resource or a course or something that you have experienced that is a must for our salon owners?
Look, I always find I get a lot of inspiration from all the different fields other than hairdressing. I think hairdressing is amazing and it's great to follow the people before us. But I think the way I look at hairdressing is that there's so many great industries out there and people out there that do amazing things. I have a bit of a man crush on a guy called Jamie Oliver. If you don't know who Jamie Oliver is, he's a chef that when I was about 20, he took the food industry and kind of spun it on its head and made it a little bit. Before then, it was always fuddy-duddy and every cooking show was about having 400 pots and pans and having the scales out and, you know, basing things and doing things very chefy. And he made it relatable to everyone. He made it relatable to the home cook. He realized that it doesn't matter if it doesn't look amazing. As long as it tastes great, it's fantastic. And he put a lot of personality and lifestyle into it. And I guess I always look back to him and he keeps bringing in new, more and more content, shows, books. And I always tend to go back to him and look at the way he educates the people or, you know, educates the masses and tries to change the way. He's not trying to make people, like, trying to change the way we see food in our house. He's trying to make people just eat a little bit healthier. And I guess within the hair world, I guess I look at it the same way. It's like I want to educate the hairdressers, but we also want to make sure we connect with the consumers to understand that hair doesn't have to be a half-hour chore in the morning to do. It can be a two-minute, you know, smash and grab kind of thing. But everyone expresses their hair differently. And you know what? I like it when people give things a go. And if you're seeing the right person and you're putting the right tools to use, you can actually get a really cool result. Versatility and difference and adding and subtracting. So I really look up to someone within that world like Jamie, who kind of surprises me and always pushing boundaries and always kind of doing something a little bit different, but having a good time doing it at the same time.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's a great fresh way of looking at someone from a different industry and how we can bring that across here. Yeah,
and then, awesome. Janet, and if you don't do that as well, I think a lot of the ideas we get, we take from other industries that are doing well. Like at the moment, like I said earlier, like baristas and coffee has just taken over the bloody world. And yeah, as much as it, you know, give yourself a week behind the coffee machine and you're making amazing coffees, you know, that's a skill you can learn pretty quick. But at the same time, they're definitely rock stars within our world at the moment. They're much cooler than hairdressers currently. And for me, I look at it going, all right, what can we take away from that coffee industry? And how can we push that into our industry as well to make our industry better rather than moving into a coffee shop?
Yeah. Look, I know people are going to want to stalk you. And there's lots of places to find you. So please give us all your dubs and we'll make sure they're on the show notes.
Oh, fantastic.
Check you out.
No worries. And any questions, guys, please hit me up. I'm always happy for a chat and a bit of a share or a collaboration here and there. So love to hear from you. But thank you for your time this morning and appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate your insights and a fresh look at keeping things fun. So it's been great.
You beauty. Love it.
So, well, that's a wrap. I love chatting with Jules. He's so much fun to be around and his energy is definitely catching. So it's officially the last quarter of 2018. And are you one of those people that set huge goals at the beginning of the year? Or maybe you reset some financial goals at the end of last quarter, end of financial year. And now you realize we're well into October. This is your last opportunity for a push. And if you're still in the same spot that you were before, you had all those good intentions, well, we've got an awesome community of salon owners in our Salon Owners Collective Hub, the home of the Freedom and Profit Program. And to top it off, we've got some amazing coaches that are available to work with you one-on-one to help you nail those kick-ass goals that you set for yourself and for your salon. So before you're setting new ones, why don't you organize a chat with one of our coaches who would love to help you get the results that you're after. I'll leave the link in this episode's bio. Otherwise, simply message us on Facebook. I look forward to seeing you on the Salon Owners Collective podcast next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.